Hello, and welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. We invite you to join us on Thursdays at 8 p.m. for an engaging exchange with us and our special guest as we cover various topics regarding history, genealogy, and your personal family history stories. Hello, I'm Janice Gilliard.
And I'm Sharakana Feliciano. Welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. Thank you for joining us, and don't forget, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Today, we are joined by our guest, Dustin Dumas.
Dustin Dumas is an avid family historian and researcher. She learned the importance of preserving family history from her mother, Laverne Dumas. Ms. Dumas gives presentations on conducting family research and has written extensively on her Civil War veteran ancestors, Henry Beard and Alexander Branscombe. She has been invited to present on her Civil War ancestors at the African American Civil War Museum in Washington, D.C. several times, and through her direct lineage has been admitted membership into the lineage groups Daughters of Union Veterans of the Civil War and Ladies of the Grand Army of the Republic. She is an author, host, and producer. She hosts and produces the television shows Dustin's Kaleidoscope and What's Up Around Town. She is the station manager of the award-winning South Orange Maplewood television station Soma TV, which won its first ever award in its 27-year history under her leadership and direction. She has been part of community television stations in Illinois, California, and New Jersey, and enjoys helping people tell their stories. Welcome to Speak On It, Dustin.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's quite a pleasure.
We're so happy to have you, Dustin. She's a friend of ours, so we're excited, you know, to have you here with us. So we'll just go ahead and get started, and we'll kind of talk a little bit about your TV history. So what inspired you to start Dustin's Kaleidoscope, and what is your goal for the show?
So what inspired me to start it was actually my mother. many years ago, she told me about a local television class that was just a local television class. And she thought I might be interested in it. And so I took the class and I just fell in love with it. And there were other people who were taking the classes and they were doing things that, you know, like let's aim the camera at a fish tank for 6 hours and make it into a show. And I thought it would be much more productive to tell people's stories. And that's how I started with Dustin's Kaleidoscope.
That's awesome.
What role does genealogy play in the work that you do with Soma TV and Dustin's Kaleidoscope?
So for me, one of the reasons why I wanted, before I became station manager, I'm still a producer and host. One of the things I wanted to do was to tell people's stories. And I've had the pleasure of actually having you, Janice, on Dustin's Kaleidoscope, and you've graced us with telling us about your family history. But beyond that, you have also shared with us your research and in general research on how other people can do family history. So going back to the show, that was one of the things I wanted to show the audience. I've had you on. I've had archivists from Seton Hall University. I've had another genealogist. And so that was, you know, telling people's stories was something that was very important to me when I started the show, and also something that continues to be very important to me.
And we'll definitely dive into, you know, storytelling, the importance of that later. But Dustin, you're originally from the Midwest. So from where in the Midwest are you from, and how do you feel that your Midwestern roots have shaped you in your connection to history and genealogy?
Okay, so I was born in Chicago, but I actually was raised about 40 miles west in a town called Aurora. And the way that the Midwest actually helped shape genealogy, one, my mother was very much into genealogy. She's from the South. She's from Memphis. And as far as the Midwest, We have big family reunions. In Aurora, my father was one of 15 children. So, as you can imagine, our family reunions were epic. And this was the way that we actually found out about family members who were no longer with us. And this was a big component of it. So that's how I became interested in it as a child. Obviously, you know, we didn't have the tools that we have now. And frankly, I wasn't as interested. I was just more interested in the stories. But there was always that component of the genealogy aspect during family reunions. And it wasn't eventually it became a more formal piece of it. But in general, it was just, hey, we're going to talk about your great grandfather or something like that.
Before we move on to our next question, I'm sorry, Shere Khan. I remember when you did a presentation for us for our Ox chapter, you talked about ancestors that spoke a different language. I'm trying to recall the language, but can you share that with our listeners? Because I think that's really cool.
Absolutely. That is my Civil War grandfather. And he was in Tennessee at the time. He found out that there was a Union regiment that was near, and he ran away, joined them, fought, and then he came back with one of the men who was actually part of the regiment back to Illinois. So that's how our family got to Illinois. And once it was in DeKalb, Sycamore area, which is, for people who are not familiar with Illinois, it's approximately 40 minutes north of 40 minutes west of Chicago. And his children, he also had, I believe, 9 children. They, unfortunately, a lot of them died of consumption before they were adults. But these children, their family lived in an area that was predominantly first generation Swedish.
Yes.
They went to a 1-room schoolhouse that was specifically that was built by the Swedes. And they had to learn Swedish in order to be taught. So when I read this, I was thinking, you know, first of all, their father, who was a formerly enslaved man, and their mother, they were not capable of helping them with their studies, but obviously not in a different language. So right. That's always been so interesting to me. And it also showed the fortitude that they had to make sure that their children were educated, regardless of the obstacles, like having to learn another language in order to be educated.
Right.
That is a very unique story. That's a really, really cool story. And I did just want to, you know, touch on briefly how, you know, you having these Midwestern roots, and as many of our listeners may know, some may not know, you know, the Midwest was a stop for the Great Migration. And, you know, one of the things that is often, I guess, touched on is the scattering that happened after the move, right, out of the Deep South, up north, or, you know, to the Midwest. But I do appreciate how you touched on the fact that your family still had these large family reunions and still maintain that connection and the importance of that and the things that, you know, you've been able to learn and glean from that. So I think that's a really, you know, kind of powerful story and a different kind of side of Great Migration stories. So.
And my mother was definitely part of that migration that came from Memphis to Chicago.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's so you're like one generation removed in that way, just from
exactly.
Wow. Very great.
So Dustin, you have ancestors who fought in the Civil War. Tell us about them and how did you come to learn about them?
So the ancestor that I just mentioned, whose family relocated to the DeKalb Sycamore area, his name is Henry Beard. And I came to learn of him through the actual school, the 1-room schoolhouse in Sycamore. It still stands today. I have visited it. And it's just, you know, as you walk through the doors, because I just happened to be there and I did not plan on being there. And they said, hey, since you're going to be here, we're going to have somebody open up the schoolhouse and show you in. I walk in, and obviously they don't know I'm coming. Like, they haven't planned this, but there is a picture of like the schoolhouse when it was functioning as a school, a one-room schoolhouse, like in the 1870s, 1880s. And I walk in and there are pictures of that time, and there are Black children there. And all of, we were, my family was the only family in that area at that time. Like, that, one of the reasons why that, it's called the North Grove one-room schoolhouse, and it's on the National Historic Registry of Historic Places. And one of the reasons is because my family was the first family, the first Black family. And before there was anything called integration. So he actually, so his, just to backtrack, he was in Tennessee. He ran away to join the Union Army. He stayed with them. And then after the Civil War, he came back to Illinois. My other Civil War ancestor is, so that's on my father's side. So I'm fortunate enough to have two. That one's on my father's side. The other one is a grandfather who's on my mother's side, and she found him. And I still remember how excited she was, because you have to understand, my mother has been, she'd been doing genealogy before it was popular. She was doing it back in the 70s when there was no ancestry. There wasn't anything online. So I can remember one time going from, we were traveling to California, and my mother told my dad, well, if we're traveling from Illinois to California, we have to stop in Utah, you know, in Salt Lake City.
Wow. Right.
That's where we stopped. And I'm, you know, as a child, I'm like, why are we here? But I understood why we were here, why we visited there, because it was the place where she could find records that were not readily available, because this is obviously way before the internet. She's the one who found that grandfather, Alexander Branscombe.
Wow. Wow. The resilience. It's hard for me to imagine doing this research prior to the internet. In many ways, you know, very much privileged and spoiled in some ways. But you know what? I really do feel like there's just, the internet is awesome. I love having it, but there is a certain magic to going through the records. And I mean, just, you set up the story for us of like going to Utah and, you know, combing through those records. That those are great memories and just a great kind of, you know, glimpse into the, to the past and how things have evolved in doing family research.
It's funny because it took her so many years to get to that point. And I could use that as a launching pad, because now we do have ancestry. We have ancestry DNA. I mean, we can go that route as well. And I just see how easy it is for me to find military records, how easy it is for me to find relatives of those particular ancestors. And it's just so much easier, you know, and like, yeah. It's different. But I, like you said, I do have those memories of going to Salt Lake City. And one other thing is that the Latter-day Saints, I believe they also have records as well. And I can remember as a child going with her on Saturdays to, because again, it's physical, there's no internet. And I would go with her and, you know, stay with her, go to a local place and be there for a couple of hours while she did research. So this is sort of like in my blood, you know what I mean? It's something that I can honestly say I wasn't as enthusiastic, you know, as a child, the way I am. But, you know, I feel like this is something that I have to continue, because there are few people in my family. They're happy to have the information, but they don't want to do the research. And I'm happy to do it so that it's not lost.
Right.
The work that she's done is was very important and continues to be. And it's something that should be built upon.
Absolutely.
You just tied into something that I always say, that if you're the one person in your family that's doing the research, you're the one that's called and chosen to do it. So,
yes.
So through your work as a show host and producer, you help community residents create local television shows. Can you tell us why inspiring local storytelling is important to you?
So It's very important to me because I know that with some of the larger stations, they are gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. They're people who will say, you know what? I don't know you. I don't know your family. You know, you're not on the New York Times bestseller list for this book or whatever, or I don't know your art. And I think from a community level, it's so important to have people be able to tell their stories. They shouldn't have to have, like, I'm going to use today's vernacular in a sense. You should not have to have 40,000 followers in order to be able to share your stories. You shouldn't have to have, you know, 16,000 likes. That's, to me, that's not important. As a station manager, as a producer, as a host, I just think it's so important to hear these stories of people who would not necessarily have this outlet. What I am happy to report, though, is that there have been people who have been on my show who have used it as a leapfrog, where they have been able to show, like, look, this is what I did on this local show. And I've had people who, because of it, they've been able to speak to colleges and have been able to speak there as visiting professors. I've had people also go to the larger network. So I think there's a place for it. But the biggest thing is everybody has a story to tell. And anyone who wants to tell that story should be able to tell that story. And I'm happy that we are an outlet that allows that to happen.
Same here. Same thing for us. You know, when Sherrod Khan and I took this over for Bernice Bennett, that was one of the things that was important to us, that we provide a platform for the average person to tell their story. You don't have to be a celebrity to be on our podcast. And that's one of the reasons why, too, we're highlighting you for Women's History Month, because you do care. You do provide a platform. Your hospitality is just, it's unbelievable how kind you are and how welcoming you are. I appreciate that. Not everybody in media is like that. So,
right.
You know, thank you for giving back and, you know, being so willing to share, you know, what you know and to help other people. What are a few things you enjoy about your community, and why is local community involvement and connection important to you?
So the thing I love about my community, I live in a very special place because every day I'm learning about people who have so many different talents. For example, we have people who are established authors who are happy to come. And this is the other thing, too. I think this television station is a little different in that we do have New York Times bestselling authors who do come on the station. There's another show that's specifically for books, but they do come on. We have people who come on who are artists. And, you know, you ask what's special about the community is that those same people are willing to share.
Right.
So before I was talking about people who may not be a New York Times bestselling author, or they may not have a piece of artwork in MoMA, but I think they should still have the opportunity to tell about their stories. On the other hand, we do have people who are more established, and they also come on the shows as well. So it's that sharing that I really like. And, you know, I don't think that's atypical of most communities, but I'm very happy to say that we do have a lot of people who are happy to share their knowledge.
That's awesome. And, you know, it speaks to, you know, technology. It's pulling us apart in some ways, but also bringing us together. And I think, you know, a lot of what you shared is, you know, very much in the tradition of bringing folks together, because we can live more isolated lives now, particularly with the pandemic now. But it is important to, you know, and storytelling is one vehicle to do that, to, you know, connect with each other and not feel so closed off and shut off from the world outside. So. Dustin, can you share with our listeners some parting words of inspiration for them?
Absolutely. You know, I feel like a lot of people may be intimidated by doing family research or finding out more about their family, because I think they will look at people on television who are going back 8, 9 generations And specifically for African Americans, sometimes, you know, we get to that point where we can only go back so far due right. to being our ancestors being enslaved. And what I like to tell people is start with yourself and write down your history, because this will be important to your descendants at one point. And we all think about it, about like, well, I'm not doing anything that's special. I'm not doing anything that's important. It's not anything that is noteworthy, but it is. And the second thing I would tell people is go to the oldest person in your family and start talking to them. And I always joke to myself that I'm waiting for my son, my nieces and nephews to like, Aunt Dustin, can you tell us? Because then I'll know I've reached that point where I'm like, okay, I'm that generation now. But right. it's important to go to that generation so you don't lose that history. You know, that's so important because you cannot get that back. I mean, you can find things in books and you can find census records, but it's that actual storytelling. And, you know, I know how important this is because my mother would casually tell me these stories about her life growing up in Memphis. And, you know, as a child, I'm like, you hear, but you don't hear. And right. then I really understand the importance and I value those. And so I've written them down, you know. And so those are two things I would think to tell people is that write your own, you know, make sure that you write your own history so nobody else has to write it. And the second thing is to start with the oldest person in your family and speak to them about their life and chronicle that. And then you can go back from there.
I love that. And before we kind of close out, I did just want to kind of piggyback off of your point about, you know, sometimes when you come to that realization that, okay, now I'm that person that people are coming to. I just had a Zoom with a cousin of mine. And we were doing like, you know, some family history, and he kind of made the comment of like, you know, everyone is dead now and deceased and gone. And, you know, we don't have access to a lot of these stories. And I was like, no, because the last time we were on a family Zoom, it was him and, you know, the other cousins from his generation, they're probably about 20, 25 years older than I am, who were really carrying the conversation. And they kind of ended up being that bridge, you know, for some of us who weren't really in, you know, North Carolina, don't have those same memories on that side of the family. And I told him, I encouraged him, like, you know, please don't discount, you know, yourself, don't count yourself out of that, because you are an important, you know, bearer of this history as well. So I like how you said that and really kind of brought home that point.
But even before you go on to that, I'm sorry, just one more thing. Renata made a post today that I thought was really interesting, where she was talking to a younger cousin who mm-hmm. lived with, I believe it may have been her grandmother, because she left at 17 to go away to college. And she said it was interesting to hear his perspective, a generation, a few years younger than her, I think maybe one generation younger, but to hear his perspective because he lived with her grandmother and she heard things that she hadn't heard before. So I'm sitting here and I'm listening to our conversation and I'm thinking, wouldn't it be cool to talk to like your children, Dustin, like maybe talk to your son. What yes. do you see? What do you feel? And to document that and include that as a part of your family history. Their perspective, that's, what they're seeing, what their experience is, that's important as well. So
that is because it'll change over time too, you know. Right. So that'll be interesting to see as well.
Very good point. Very true. Dustin Dumas, thank you so much for sharing with us and our listeners. You can find her on Instagram and Facebook under her name, Dustin Dumas. We thank you for joining us and we look forward to sharing with you during our next segment of Speak On It.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And it was an honor to highlight you and spotlight you as for Women's History Month. Keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate you so much. And I hope other people will learn about you through the podcast. Speak On It is a podcast and is immediately available to listen to at your leisure. We are forever thankful to Bernice Bennett, who hosted research at the National Archives and beyond, for entrusting us to continue her broadcast legacy through Speak On It. Thank you.